Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, June the 21st, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings that you bestow upon us day by day. We're grateful for all that you show, and we ask, Lord, that you would continue to give us an understanding of the truth as revealed in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our last session, we took a look at spiritual formation, and today I'd like to continue that thought. However, I'm going to use the subject. The title for today is your church doing spiritual formation? We're going to make this a question today. And the article was written on a Light Shining in the Darkness website. It was published back on June the 16th, 2018. The question again, the title of the article, is your church doing spiritual formation? Now, what is interesting about it is that it has a subtext. The subtext is important reasons why it shouldn't. So the title and the subtext, is your church doing spiritual formation? Important reason why it should not. And of course, as I said before, it's published on June the 16th, 2018. Now, the website is controlled by Lighthouse Trails editors, and it is worth your reading, but we're going to take a look at some of this article today. Here's the article. Is your church involved in a spiritual formation program? If so, you might want to ask the question, what exactly is spiritual formation? It's a fair question, and one that, if not asked, could end up surprising you when your church changes in ways you never imagined. A Christianity Today article states, spiritual formation is in. The article defines spiritual formation in this way. Quote, formation, like the forming of a pot from clay, brings to mind shaping and molding, helping something potential become something actual. Spiritual formation speaks of a shaping process with reference to the spiritual dimension of a person's life. Christian spiritual formation thus refers to the process by which believers become more daily conformed and united in Christ. Now, that is the definition given in Christianity Today in one of the articles there. And let me read that definition again for you as found in Christianity Today. Spiritual formation, like the forming of a pot from clay, brings to mind shaping and molding, helping something potential become something actual. Spiritual formation speaks of a shaping process with reference to the spiritual dimension of a person's life. Christian spiritual formation thus refers to the process by which believers become more fully conformed and united to Christ. Now, that is the definition given in that article, as found in Christianity Today. Continuing the article, it says, such a definition would hardly send up red flags. But what this definition excludes is how this process of conforming and uniting to Christ takes place, and who is eligible to participate in such a process. The how is done through spiritual disciplines, primarily through the discipline of the silence. The silence is an altered state that is reached through a mantra like meditation, breath prayers, or some other meditative practice. The idea behind it is that if you go into this silent state, you will eliminate distractions or thoughts and be able to hear God's voice. He, in turn, will transform you to be like Christ. The who can practice these disciplines and become like Christ, is anyone, according to Spiritual Formation Pioneer. A Christian, a Buddhist, a Muslim, even an atheist, anyone at all can benefit from the spiritual disciplines and become like Christ. The question is, which Christ? Richard Foster, the father of the evangelical spiritual formation movement, says this. Now, many evangelical seminaries offer programs in spiritual formation. Renovera, which Richard Foster and others founded in 1989 to cultivate spiritual formation, especially among evangelicals, today offers retreats and resources worldwide. In 1989, Richard Foster began an organization called Renovera. But 11 years earlier, in 1978, his book, Celebration of Discipline, first came out. And that has been a spiritual formation premiere ever since. The following quote by Foster, written in a pastoral letter, sheds light on the roots of spiritual formation, as well as how prolific it is today. Here's the quote. When I first began writing in the field in the late 70s and early 80s, the term spiritual formation was hardly known, except for highly specialized references in relation to the Catholic order. Today, it is a rare person who has not heard the term. Seminary courses in spiritual formation proliferate like baby rabbits. Huge numbers are seeking to become certified as spiritual directors to answer the cry of multiplied thousands for spiritual direction. Countless evangelical leaders have gotten on Foster's spiritual formation bandwagon. One example is Rick Warren, who considers the spiritual formation movement to be a worthy wake-up call to the evangelical church. From time to time, God has raised up a parachurch, he says, a parachurch movement to re-emphasize a neglected purpose of the church, the spiritual formation movement. A re-emphasis on developing believers to fully maturity has been the focus. Richard Foster and Dallas Willard have underscored the importance of building up Christians and establishing personal spiritual disciplines. This movement has a valid message for the church. It has given the body a wake-up call. There are some who are deeply concerned about this movement. Author and missionary Roger Oakland expresses concern about this supposedly valid message and says spiritual formation came up from the church like an unsuspecting avalanche. A move away from the truth of God's word to a mystical form of Christianity has infiltrated, to some degree, nearly all evangelical denominations. Few Bible teachers saw this avalanche coming. Now that it is underway, most do not realize it has even happened. Now let me just read that little paragraph again. A move away from the truth of God's word to a mystical form of Christianity has infiltrated to some degree nearly all evangelical denominations. Few Bible teachers saw this avalanche coming. Now that it is underway, most do not realize it has even happened. As the Word of God becomes less and less important, the rise in mystical experiences escalates, and these experiences are presented to convince the unsuspecting that Christianity is about feeling and touching and smelling and seeing God. The postmodern mindset is the perfect environment for fostering spiritual formation. This term suggests there are various ways and means to get closer to God and to emulate Him. So exactly what is spiritual formation and what is its premise? In this article, we hope to answer these questions. When Richard Foster told research analyst and author Ray Jungen that Thomas Merton tried to awaken God's people, what he meant was that Thomas Merton saw one element missing within Christianity, the mystical element. Merton had learned from a Hindu Swami named Dr. Brahmaksi that one could obtain mystical properties from Catholic mystics like the Desert Fathers and didn't need to leave one's own tradition to do it. But Merton realized that most Christians didn't know about this. So he set out to bring mysticism, that would be contemplative prayer, to the Catholic and Christian world. However, Merton died a sudden early death in 1968 and was unable to accomplish his goal. But somewhere between 1968 and 1978, Richard Foster picked up the mantle of Thomas Merton and carried it forward. Now today, untold numbers of churches and millions of people are going forth with Merton's and Richard Foster's message of spiritual formation. To understand the true nature of spiritual formation, consider the following quotes of Thomas Merton, Richard Foster's mentor. Quote, "It is a glorious destiny to be a member of the human race. Now I realize what we all are. If only they could all see themselves as they really are. I suppose the big problem would be that they would fall down and worship each other. At the center of our being is a point of nothingness, which is untouched by sin and by illusions, a point of pure truth. This little point in the pure glory of God is the pure glory of God in us. It is in everybody." So in other words, he's saying that there's a little part of us that is just holy, that is not sinful. And if we could just see it, if we could just embrace it, then we would all be just holy, because that little piece of us that is untouched by sin and untouched by everything else, that is the pure glory of God in us. Continuing, he says, "I believe that by openness to Buddhism, to Hinduism, and to these great Asian mystical traditions, we stand a wonderful chance of learning more about the potentially wonderful part of our Christian tradition." So in other words, apparently this spiritual formation is a connection, the same kinds of mysticism as practiced in Buddhism and Hinduism and the rest of these Asian mystical traditions. Continuing, "The most important need in the Christian world today is this inner truth nourished by the spirit of contemplation. Without contemplation and interior prayer, the church cannot fulfill her mission to transform and save mankind. The spirit of contemplation is what fuels the spiritual formation movement. Merton believed that God dwelled in all people, and that we are, in fact, all a part of God. Richard Foster has done much to carry forward Merton's message through the spiritual formation movement. The question you must ask yourself is, do you believe what Merton said? If not, then spiritual formation does not belong in your church or in your family's spiritual structure." So now notice the direction in which these people are heading. They're saying that we are all part of God and that God is all part of us, and that therefore what we need to do is to stop for a minute, go silent and contemplate, so that that little piece of God in us might be able to be transforming in the whole of us. Of course, it's all error, and all satanic, and all paganistic, but it has taken over the churches. Continuing, "In essence, spiritual formation is carrying on the Hindu message of God is in all things." That is panentheism. And God is all things, that's pantheism. If such a message is true, then the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that man is sinful, that he is heading for eternal destruction because of sin, and that he needs a savior, would become null and void. For more insight into the backbone of spiritual formation, let us turn to a small book Richard Foster wrote called Meditative Prayer. Foster says that the purpose of meditative prayer is to create a spiritual space or inner sanctuary through specific meditation exercises. Foster references several mystics in the book who can point the way to these exercises: Madame Goyon, Teresa of Avila, Francis de Sales, Henry Nouwen, and Thomas Merton. Foster breaks the contemplative process down into three steps, he says. The first step into meditative prayer is sometimes called centering down. Others have used the term recollection, that is, a recollecting of ourselves until we are unified or whole. The idea is to let go of all competing distractions until we are truly centered until we are truly present where we are. Foster suggests that practicing visualization methods help us center down. In the second step of meditation, Foster suggests that the mystic Richard Rowley experienced physical sensations during meditation, which perhaps we may or may not experience as well. Step three of meditation, Foster says, is that of listening to God. Once the meditative exercises have been implemented and the spiritual ecstasy is reached, this entered realm is where the voice of God can be heard. However, as any New Age meditator knows, this ecstatic state is an altered state of consciousness where everything is supposed to be unified and one with God. Foster acknowledges the interspiritual attribute linked to contemplative prayer when he states, Jesus showed us God's yearning for the gathering of an all-elusive community of loving persons. Foster defines more of what he means by all-inclusive in his book, Streams of Living Water, when he says this all-inclusive community includes everything from a Catholic monk to a Baptist evangelist. So now notice what they're saying now. Not only is this contemplative prayer or spiritual formation one of mysticism and bringing Buddhism and Hinduism together, but it is bringing Catholicism, it is bringing Baptists together, it is bringing everybody together because we all have a little piece of God in us. God is internal. And if we just pause for a moment and we get all silent and we start to contemplate, then that God will take control. All of that is error. It is apostasy. It is not of God. And yet it has taken control of the majority of God's church today. Continuing. Oft-times, Richard Foster has made favorable reference to the practice of Lividio Divina, which is being heralded in many Christian settings as a Christian biblical practice. People are persuaded to believe that repeating words and short phrases of scripture over and over again in a deeper way, and it is leading them to know who God is. They believe that since it is scripture being repeated and not just any words, then this validates the practice, and that this sacred reading is sacred because it is the Bible being used. But Foster himself proves that it has nothing to do with scripture. It is the repetition that is effective, not the words. He states, Lectio Divina includes more than the Bible. They are the lives of the saints and the writings which are preceded from their profound mystical experiences. So now if we pause for a moment and we clear our minds and we repeat stuff over and over again in a very low voice, then what we're doing is opening up our heart, and the little piece of God that we are then rises to the fore. This is what these people believe. As a matter of fact, it is not only what they believe, but it is what they are preaching in their churches. Continuing, Foster obliterates the supposed premise of Lectio Divina by saying this, that is because as a meditation proponent, he knows that meditation has nothing to do with words or repeated over and over. It is the repetition itself that puts one into the altered state. So it doesn't matter what you're repeating, in other words. It is the fact that you are repeating that puts one into an altered state of consciousness. Thus, whether you say Jesus, Abba, Buddha, or OM, it produces exactly the same effect. Now, that is what Foster is saying. It doesn't matter what you repeat. The spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius are named after the founder of the Catholic Jesuit order and have typically been used by Catholics. However, according to one source, beginning in the 1980s, Protestants have had a growing interest in the spiritual exercises. There are adaptations that are specific to Protestants, which emphasize the exercises as a school of contemplative prayer. Traditionally, Ignatius spirituality is practiced in a retreat center, usually with the assistance of a spiritual director. As with other spiritual formation exercises, It is believed that if the Ignatian exercises are practiced, the practitioner can conquer self and become more Christ-like. This is why Ignatius spirituality is often included in spiritual formation programs. Now that's the beginning of the article. And we didn't even get halfway through it today. But I thought I would just share some of that with you today because it is so incredibly important that you understand that this has found its way into all of the churches. And I sincerely hope that you have not run across this in your congregation. But if you have, I want you to know this morning that it is error. It is apostasy. It is satanic. It is paganism. It is mysticism. And ought to be totally and absolutely abandoned. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn us of the dangers that surround. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to understand what is important and why we must follow the path that you have set for us and not what man has come up with. We ask, Lord, that you would give us the strength that is necessary so that we would walk according to your will and be obedient to your cause. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, June the 21st, 2021.